We open with hymn number 2. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord,
and thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. I will love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. For you will save the humble people, but will bring down haughty looks. As for the Lord, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me.
Father, we give thanks unto thee that through thy holy word thou hast called us to thy great supper. And we beseech thee, quicken our hearts by thy Holy Spirit, that we may not hear thy word without fruit, but that we may prepare ourselves rightly for thy kingdom, and not allow ourselves to be hindered by any worldly care. through thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson is found in the 9th chapter of Proverbs, the 1st through the 12th verse. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her 7 pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest place of the city, "Whoever is simple, let him turn in here." As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, "Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct the scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself, and if you scoff, you will bear it alone." Here ends the Old Testament lesson.
In my distress I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue.
The epistle lesson is found in the 3rd chapter of 1 John, the 13th through the 18th verse. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life, because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Here ends the epistle lesson.
Alleluia, alleluia. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and sing praises to the name of the Lord Most High. Alleluia.
Gospel is found in the 14th chapter of Luke, the 16th through the 24th verse.
Glory be to thee, Lord.
Then he said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.' Still another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper.'" Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn number 306.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our lesson is found in the 14th chapter of Luke, the 16th through the 24th verse. Then he said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.' Still another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So that servant came and reported these things to the master. When the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper.'" Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ, everybody loves a good party. Good music, good food, good wine, good conversation. There is joy all around. The more generous the host, the more eager the guests are to come. They will gladly change their plans to attend a party like that. And so in our text we hear of a party, a feast, a banquet. But what do we find at this party, the one in Jesus' parable? The guests are invited, and they all begin turning in their RSVPs, making excuses why they cannot come. What could account for this? Well, maybe the host has a bad reputation for throwing bad parties. But no, his feasts are the greatest of all. His wine and ale is better than money can buy. His food is cooked and seasoned to perfection, with only the choicest cuts of meat and the freshest spices. And the entertainment is the most beautiful music that you can imagine. Well then, does the Lord of the feast demand too much from his guests? No, everything is free. He asks nothing of them at all, except that they come and enjoy the feast. Do they perhaps not know this man, and they feel awkward about going to the party where they are strangers? No, they know the Lord of this feast very well. In fact, they have known him their whole lives. Now, there, of course, could be legitimate reasons why you could not attend such an event. Perhaps you or someone in your care is deathly ill, or maybe you are serving in the military stationed in some distant land. That would be understandable, at least. But the excuses that these people make are nothing like that. They're the silliest of reasons. Like, "I just bought a new car and I have to go test drive it." Or, "I bought a new piece of property and I have to go look it over to make sure everything is as it said on the deed." Or, "I'm recently married. I can't come." And evidently, his wife can't either, because strangely enough, she just got married too. Why, this is all so ridiculous. What are these people thinking? This is the opportunity of a lifetime, and it's been handed to them on a silver platter, but they don't want it. Now, if this were not a parable, we would think this very strange. We would laugh at the foolishness of these people. But that's the way it is with the parables of Jesus. They always have a twist, something that just doesn't make sense in real life. So what's this parable about anyway? Well, it's helpful to know who the him is in the first verse that Jesus is answering. You see, Jesus spoke this parable while he was at a feast that was held by one of the Pharisees who had invited Jesus and his disciples. And while he was there, Jesus began to teach, as he often did. He had only just finished teaching about how we should be when we give a feast, whom we should invite. Don't invite only the famous people, The rich guests, the movers and the shakers, or only your close friends, they might return the favor and pay you back. Instead, invite the poor and the lame and the maimed and the blind. Invite those who cannot repay you, so that you are giving with a loving heart and not just to gain favor with men. The listeners, many of whom were Pharisees, they were very impressed with these blessed words which Jesus preached. They recognized the righteousness in them. And one of the men, probably a Pharisee, called out, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." True indeed, the man is blessed who eats bread in the kingdom of heaven. It is a holy desire to be among God's saints. But how may one be so blessed as to eat this heavenly bread? That is the real question. And so Jesus speaks a parable, for he delights to be able to teach the true way to eternal life. He speaks of the kingdom of heaven as that feast. He describes how it actually is, however. And as we saw in this strange parable, what men expect to happen is not what happens at all. So too, those listeners of Jesus who expected to be counted worthy of eternal life and to willingly come to the kingdom of heaven after waiting for it for all these years, they're shown to be the true fools in the parable. For unlike the expectations of the teachers in Israel, when God has prepared his feast and when he has made all things ready for his guests, all that waits is for them to just come and sit down and eat, the very people you would expect to be there make excuses and are absent. Blessed is he who eats bread in the kingdom of God. But where are they? Why do they not come if they find this feast to be so blessed? The feast which Jesus describes is the feast of his word and sacraments, of the forgiveness of sins, of eternal life. It is not the feast which takes place in heaven at the end of all things, but the one that takes place here on earth, where Jesus is present among us, where Jesus is serving us. That is the food which he has prepared, the preaching of repentance and the forgiveness of sins, and wonder of wonders, his own body and blood, as our food and drink. His invitation is nothing less than this: come to me and be my guest. I will give you the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Don't worry about all the work that awaits you in the world. It has its use. By it, you serve your neighbor, but it is of no use here. Here I serve you. Come, bring only yourself. Taste my supper. Live forever. But the first guests all begin to make excuses. They will not come. They believe that the works that they are doing in the world are the more important thing. After all, Jesus, what's wrong with you anyway? Here you expect us to come and sit in church and taste and drink in the words of everlasting life when there's so much work to do. Isn't it selfish for us to come to church and be fed when we should be out feeding others and earning our keep in the world and caring for our families? That's the real work that we should be doing. That's what counts. It's nice that you've invited us to your feast, Jesus, but surely you can see how we are better people if we do not come. After all, how do you expect us to ever get into the kingdom of heaven when we're spending so much time being served by you? We really appreciate the invitation, but we have our own serving to do, a work that will truly earn us a place in eternal life. And when the time comes, surely we will be there. Other voices answer Jesus, "Oh, I know all about your good food, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of time for me to come and eat it some other time. I've got a lot going on just now, movies to watch and vacations to plan, and I've got the big final next week. The only time I can do any of this is on Sunday morning. Surely you can understand that, Jesus." And still others don't even bother to answer at all. Their response is their silence. They missed the last several feasts, so they may as well miss one more. What difference does it make after all? There's going to be another one next week. And in the end, all the those people whom you would expect would be the first ones at the feast, the first to enjoy the blessings of Christ, they do not come. Everything is ready and waiting for them. Jesus has come. He has kept the Father's promise by taking away the sins of the world. Just as he promised, his Son was numbered with the transgressors, and through his body and blood he has brought the blessedness of the forgiveness of sins in such rich measure that not only all the sins of his people Israel, the first guests, are invited, but the sins of the whole world. You see, he says, all things are now ready. Nothing remains to be done. Come and receive the promised blessing. But the halls of the feast are empty. The table is set, but there are no guests. The first guests, the teachers of Israel, the bearers of the law and the prophets, the scribes and lawyers and priests, the rich and the rulers, none of them come. And so our Lord turns away from the first guests, the self-righteous, the not to be bothered, all the people who just don't find the feast of eternal life all that enticing. And he turns to the people who will really appreciate the gifts of God. He turns to the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind, all the people who nobody invites to their feasts, all the people who would eagerly come if only they were invited. And so it is that the disciples of Jesus are not so many rich, not so many Pharisees, not so many famous people, but the poor and the laborer and the sick and the beggars, the prostitutes and tax collectors that polite society despised. Those he invites, they are hungry. And when there is a feast, the hungry gladly come. They are amazed. Nobody wanted them because they're worthless in the eyes of men. God, by all rights, should not have invited them because they are all sinners and they have no right to be there. They've done nothing to earn this feast. Yet, here they are, dining with God himself. And the house is still not filled. There is still room, enough food for many more. And so now the Lord of the feast, our great God and Savior, invites the foreigners and the strangers, people who'd never even heard of the Lord, the traveler from a far land that only knew strange gods and idols, the Greeks and the Romans and all the people who had no knowledge of the true God except what their consciences revealed. They also our Lord invites, and many of them also gladly hear and come. And so as you've no doubt noticed, this parable is not just about Israel or the Pharisees, but it is about you. It is about all the excuses you are wont to make to stay away from church and away from the preaching of the gospel, away from the body and blood of the Lord in his supper. Thank goodness for men like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because if they hadn't been there, then we would have to wonder what Jesus would have said to people just like us. We would have to wonder what sort of parables Jesus would have written about our sins. But since there were Pharisees and Sadducees there in Jesus' day, now we know exactly what he would have said to us and what parables he would have written for us. His stinging rebuke strikes our hearts also, so that we learn not to spurn the invitation of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ to come to him and eat and live. For God still prepares a feast of good things, and he invites you to come. He asks nothing of you in return, but that you sit at his table and enjoy his gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Yes, there are legitimate reasons that you might miss church. You may indeed be too sick to come. You may be on vacation and unable to come because there's no church where you can worship in good conscience. You may have no other choice but to work on a Sunday or starve and go homeless. But when the excuses pile up Sunday after Sunday, they are no longer legitimate. They're just excuses. Oxen you can test on some other time. Property you can visit later in the day. A wife or family that you could well bring with you to church so that you can feast on the good things of Jesus together. Because as it was in the parable, so it is with the kingdom of Christ on earth. There are plenty of people who are more than willing to take your place, to receive the good things of Christ if you are no longer willing. And it is foolish to believe that you can continue to put off the invitation of Jesus to come and to eat, because you do not know when the time might come when he says concerning you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. Sad to say, when that happens, you will not even know it, because you will be so busy with the business of this world that before you know it, you will find yourself knocking on heaven's door, wondering why you are on the outside, in the outer darkness, at the end of the world. Therefore, do not delay. Do not spurn the invitation of your Lord Jesus Christ. Today he invites you to come and sit down at his table, for all things are ready for you. He would pour out his blessings upon you. He would feed you with his body and blood and forgive all your sins. And though you might have made 1,000 excuses before, hear his invitation today and come, and you shall indeed be blessed to break bread in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, our strength and stay, grant us thy fear and love, that we, walking in thy heavenly precepts, may attain the beginning of all true wisdom. We pray thee for the revelation of thyself and thy law, in which thou dost teach us thy holy will, and by which thou dost govern the world. Grant that it may ever instruct us in righteousness, and that we may give heed to its commandments, and may not fall under its judgments. We bless thee for the prophets of old, through whom thou hast unveiled thy grace and given us great and precious promises. We beseech thee to bestow upon us thy Spirit, that we may grow in the knowledge of thee and be ever comforted by thy faithfulness in the fulfillment of thy word. We thank thee that in the merits and mercies of Christ our Lord thou hast prepared for us the great supper of salvation, and through the preaching of the gospel has bidden all to come and break bread in thy kingdom. We pray that thy church may faithfully bring thy invitation to all nations. Send her messengers forth to invite those in the streets and lanes of the city, and those on the highways of life, the poor and maimed, the lame and the blind, the weak and the erring, the sorrowful and the troubled, that they may taste of thy supper and see that thou art merciful and good. Lord of hosts, rule our nation and sanctify all who are in authority. Give our nation a love of righteousness and a hatred for all that is contrary to thy law. Bless our homes that they may be schools of true wisdom, and harbors of true love, and that all who abide there may find peace and joy in harmony with thee and one another. We ask thy special guidance, protection, and comfort for the sick, the sorrowful, the aged, and the lonely. Tenderly bestow upon them thy mercy, and show them what great things thou hast prepared for thy children. Hear our prayer, O Father, and if there be anything else we should have asked, grant it unto us for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior and intercessor. Amen. We sing hymn number 509.
To the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord,
Therefore, with angels and with archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Thine is the kingdom.
The same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee, and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
We sing hymn 500.
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.